Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the opening selection is from T.D. Jakes' old album from the 90s titled Sacred Love Songs. And that particular title is He Teaches Me to Love. So why am I opening with T.D. Jakes? Well, unless you live under a spiritual rock or a Christianity rock, then you have heard of the rumors that are circulating about Bishop T.D. Jakes. So I have not come on here to gossip about the rumors or to say I believe or agree one way or the other, but it just got me to thinking about the early ministry of T.D. Jakes. When I got saved back in the 90s, the early 90s, T.D. Jakes was kind of like just coming on the scene, early 90s, mid 90s, and he was beginning to blow up during that time period. And so I was just kind of going back into my mind, thinking about what happens, you know, to these ministers who, when they first hit the scene, God is using them mightily in the ministry, and he was using T.D. Jakes mightily, especially in women's ministry. And it's odd because as a man, you know, he was able to really reach the hearts and issues of women. So if you think about Woman Thou Art Loosed, that's the one that kind of stands out for me, because when I was first saved, I was, you know, as young people, you kind of go, I got saved very young, in my 20s, early 20s, and so you are going through the things that young women and men go through during that time, far as dating and trying to find the right mate or the mate right mate find you, but you're going through all these ups and downs in relationships and, you know, trying to find your worth and what is your worth, what is your value. And so T.D. Jakes could really speak to the women, the single women during that season, during that time. And we kind of help him, his ministry grow, because we were really flocking to and following him during that time period. I must say that during that time, not once did I question the realness or the sincerity of his ministry or of his relationship with God, because the man was just able to really speak to my heart, able to speak to the issues that I was dealing with. You know, so I remember going on a women's retreat. It was a women's retreat in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with a church. And again, you know, I'm young, I'm the youngest one on the bus. Everybody else is middle-aged or senior citizens. And we were riding, and somebody had a VHS tape. The bus that we were on had, you could watch movies or watch videos on the way. So somebody had a VHS tape of T.D. Jakes. That's how old it was. It was not a DVD. It was a VHS tape. That's how old it was. But they popped that in, and we were all just kind of glued to the screen. And after this man went through and preached, you know, with that fire, and it burned our hearts, it made the women begin to get up and just prophesy about the various things that they were dealing with in their lives. And it's like, you know, some shackles were coming off and people seemed like they were being freed by the things that he had preached. So I won't ever forget it. One by one, it's like it was a stage in the bus, and they would just jump up and go to the front and begin to talk about those things that were on their heart. And these things, they were just beginning to shed shame and shedding guilt and just all kinds of things that they were, that he made it so they would be able to freely share. So, but as the time went on, you know, when T.D. Jakes began to write books, we would go out and buy the books, but I could never really get through a whole book. I didn't like his writing. Honestly, you know, you can ask my husband today, You know, he knows I'll buy a book and I can lose interest real quick and put the book down. And T.D. Jakes' books were like that because of the writing. I found the writing to be too flowery, you know, just too many adjectives describing this or that. And it just seemed almost, I don't know what the right word is. I can't find the right word to describe it, but it just wouldn't hold me. It didn't, just too pretty in the writing, if I could say that. But that's the only word I could come up with at this moment. But that's, and then that the album came out, the Sacred Love songs. And when I played those songs, so that's, as I was trying to find one to open up this podcast with, I tried to play one of the songs. Then as I was listening to them in 2023, almost 2024, they were so secular. They were just so laced with secularism. But again, I'm in my 20s during this time, so that music, I was still close to that music. You know, I wasn't too far out of the club. One foot was, you know, still over there, kind of. And so that music, I was still kind of holding on to it. But that music was very, very secularized. It was full of those type beats and that R&B sound. But, because he put sacred on it, it makes us think, oh, the sacred love songs. But they weren't really coming off all that sacred if you go back and play them. But I was drawn to the scripture, you know, as I listened to the stories and as I watched some of the different commentary concerning these rumors, different scriptures begin to come to my mind. So I'll be addressing this issue using the scripture, you know, and it may end up being two different podcast episodes because I just want to kind of dig a little deeper into what this means and how do we as people of God arrive at this place, you know, that he has found himself in. So I'm going to go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the Bible here, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And this is the temptation in the wilderness story, you know, where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And this is what kind of popped into my head along again with some different scriptures that just keep flooding my mind as I begin to think about T.D. Jakes. And, you know, when the Lord kind of revealed to me who he was, and it was, you know, decades ago, that not just his books weren't holding me, but even his teachings or his ministry wasn't holding me anymore once the Lord revealed to me in a dream of who T.D. Jakes was and or is. So, but, well, before I go into the scripture, let me just share that part of it so you'll also get some feel for where I'm coming from concerning that. But a long time ago, I had a dream about T.D. Jakes, and it was just weird. It was odd. But T.D. Jakes, I can still see the bench in my mind, and I don't know where we were, but it was like a bench at a school or something like that, but maybe a bench outside of a track. But, you know, I love track and field. You know, races, sprinting. And so in my mind, I see this bench on the side of a track. And sitting on the bench is T.D. Jakes. But T.D. Jakes is dressed in a letterman's jacket. And he looks like a wolf. So here he is on this, you know, park bench. The bench is like a park bench. In a letterman's jacket, I still don't know what the letterman's jacket means, but he looks like a wolf. He has his arms around a sheep. Well, it looks like a sheep. But the crazy thing is that the sheep's head has been bitten off. So after I had that dream, I'm thinking to myself, so what the Lord is showing me is that T.D. Jakes is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is biting the heads off of the sheep. So instead of caring and shepherding the flock, he's actually destroying and eating the flock. So I've had that dream decades ago. So I could never look at T.D. Jakes the same. This is before the retreat, before the woman that this is after I had done the retreat. This is after The Woman Thou Art Loose was big and T.D. Jakes and all his books and his music. It's after this that I got that dream. But once I got it, I was no longer able to look at him the same. So I never got caught up in the Potter's house and all these mega events that he would have. I've never felt drawn to it. Although somebody in church, they were still in love with him. They had all of his tapes. I wouldn't say DVDs because back then it was tapes, but they had all of his tapes. And they wanted to go to his mega conferences, the men's conferences, all of these things. But I could never get caught up in him because of what I had seen in the dream. Then my husband comes along and tells me that he has a dream that the Lord tells him that T.D. Jakes is a Baal worshiper. And at that time, he said he didn't even know who Baal was. So we looked it up and he found out who Baal was. But he said that T.D. Jakes, oh, he's a Baal worshiper. But, you know, if you think about it, lots of things had begun to be revealed about him because of the people, because of the company that he was keeping. You know, he's keeping company with Oprah Winfrey. You know, she's in his corner. Any minister that Oprah Winfrey gets behind, you ought to feel some type of way about that minister because something is probably off because Oprah is involved. And we know, well, maybe you don't know, but I believe there's a lot of wickedness there, but that's another podcast episode. But anyway, they take a person that God is using and a person that has so much influence, and those are the people that they tend to want to go after. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me go into the word because I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry about that. That's an alarm I have set for when I'm in school in my classes, so I don't know how much time I have to stop talking. But let me go back to the scripture because I'm getting ahead of myself and I don't want to do that. I want to take it a little bit slow. So let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." So, of course, Jesus has been on a 40-day fast and hasn't had anything to eat. And so he's hungry. He's hungry. And so this is when the devil tries to attack, when you're hungry for something. You know, you got some desires, some strong desires for something. So this is when the devil approaches him, because now I know he wants something. I know that there's a hunger inside of him for something. So here is my time to attack, right? And so the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So after he couldn't get him with the commanding the bread to be made stone, you know, he's questioning him, his identity. He said, "If you be the Son of God, if you be," so now, you know, if you are who you say you are, then you ought to be able to have this power if you are who you say you are. Okay. And now that didn't work. So now he's taking him up into a high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms. Look at all this. Look at all this stuff. "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time." Verse 6. "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. All this power will I give thee and the glory of them." I'll give you all the power and the glory that comes along with all of these kingdoms. "For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." So I can give you all these kingdoms, the glory that goes with it, the power that goes along with being owning all these kingdoms, because I have that authority. I have the authority to give it to whoever I please. That's been given to me by God himself. So look at all this stuff that I can give you. Verse 7. "If you therefore will worship me, and all shall be yours." All shall be thine. All you got to do to get all these kingdoms and the power and the glory that goes along with it is worship me. That's all I want from you. In verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus responded to that temptation with, get out of my face. Because I'm only supposed to worship one God. That's all I'm going to do is worship that God. So you can get on away from me with this mess that you offering me. Now, if only the people of God would respond in the same manner. Because you know that whatever God has given you, all these gifts and talents that you have, this gift for gab, this way of reaching people, is the anointing. It's not you. It is the anointing that God has placed upon your life where you're able to touch the hearts of people. That you're able to draw these people in because of the grace and the anointing that God has placed upon your life for that. But he's given it to you so you can be used for the kingdom. It's to be used for the kingdom, to win souls to him. But what the devil knows is that all I got to do is get in here and show you how you could be even bigger and better. Let me show you what I can give you. Then all of a sudden your mind begins to change. And now what God has given you is not enough. That's not enough. Yes, I've got a nice home. Yes, I'm being blessed as a minister in the kingdom of God. He is blessing me, but the devil is showing me something greater, bigger, better. So, yeah, I'll dabble a little bit over here. You can give me this, you can give me that. Okay, what do I have to do? You got to worship me. You're going to continue to look like you're worshiping God because you're going to be blooming and blossoming in the ministry. But all the while, you're serving me. You're leading people down the wrong path. You're serving me by mixing the profane with the righteous stuff. Mixing the profane with the holy. Subtle things in my doctrine. Just pour a little lie with the truth. Add a little bit of lie and confusion with the truth. See, that's how I want to use you, because you have all this influence. You've got people buying your tapes. You got people buying your books. You got people even buying your music. Now I've given you a TV show on top of it. Now you're reaching even more people and you're compromising more and more and more. I'm sending my minions to you to pat you on the back. To give you all these accolades and let you know that, you know, we honor your wisdom. And because you're so wise, I want to give you your own TV show. Okay, great. I'll take your TV show. Now I can minister even more. Oh, yeah. You're going to minister. But you're going to minister some lies. Your doctrine is going to be off. We're going to introduce debauchery. You know, now you can't tell me that I can't have this person on as a guest. Never going to send all kind of guests to your show. So it's all kind of compromising that's going on. And that's what was happening. And that's what will happen to anybody who allows themselves to fall into the temptation of the devil. And this is why the Lord says that it's easier for a camel to make it and get in through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it to heaven. Because the more money they make, the more money they want. And not just the money, but the power. The power that comes with it. Money brings power. Money brings influence. Money brings an adoration from the people. And most people cannot handle that and remain holy. The devil knows that. And that's why it's so easy. See, if you only have about 10 people in your congregation and your influence is small, he ain't going to be bothering you too much about that. But he is going to go after every single person that has the platform that a Bishop T.D. Jakes has, or a Tasha Cobb, or what's the other little girl, Tasha Cobb and Ja'Kalyn Carr, you know, Maverick City, whatever the platform, if it's reaching and reaching and reaching people for God, that's who Satan wants to tempt. That's who he's going to go to that see that they're hungry. You got a desire for something else. You're hungry. You know, so I'm going to go to you and then I'm going to show you all that you can have. You don't have to stay over here, Dante. You got this voice that's reaching millions of people and you're touching their hearts and you're ushering them into the presence of God. But look how many more people you could reach if you just go to the R&B side. And if you sell your soul to me, I will make sure your voice is heard all over the country. Matter of fact, I will make it go international. And you can still sing a little bit of gospel. You can mix it in. The devil is just pulling and pulling those in the kingdom that have a huge platform and influence. And that's what's happened. I don't know if the rumors are true, but I know what God showed me about this man decades ago. So I'm leaning to one side of that. But I'm using this as a teaching moment for you. That every gift that you have, every gift that God has blessed you with, it is a gift because of the grace that's upon your life and because of the anointing, God's anointing. And he's given it to you for a specific purpose. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not to be just squandered on your finances and your materialistic things. He didn't give it to you for that, though he will bless you with some of those things. He's given it to you to be used in the kingdom for the drawing of souls unto him. That's why you can speak and you will draw people. That's why you can sing and you will touch the souls and hearts of men with your singing. That's why. God has blessed you with your ability to play. You're a musician, you're an actor, whatever it is, for his glory, for his kingdom. And so when you allow the devil to come in and to fill your head because he see a hunger in you, he see a hunger in you for more, that's what he'll use. Then he'll begin to show you all these things that you can have. If you would just do it for him and not for God. Well, and that won't end well. If you don't respond the way that Jesus did, get thee behind me, Satan, then you may find yourself in the same predicament that this man is finding himself. And you don't want that to happen. If the devil is presenting anything to you, you need to rebuke him. And tell him that you will serve only God and God alone. That every gift that he so graciously bestowed upon you, and that privileged, priceless anointing, that's for God's purpose and his alone. And you will not squander it for money or for fame. So, know where your gift come from, know the purpose of it, and stay on the Lord's side, because there's safety there. And that's all I have for you. Grace and peace.